Welcome to Follow the Sound. I am your host, Brian Kroc. Each week, we explore different aspects of the world of music, including concert reviews, album reviews, and what we are bringing you today, This Week in Music History, which is a show I always love to do. Along with me is, of course, my co-host, Greg Harvey.
Hey, that's me. Hi, everyone.
And Jacob Crumb.
No, I wasn't done yet.
Greg wasn't done yet.
Okay, Jacob Crumb, everyone.
Good evening.
Yes, we are back again to bring you This Week in Music History. And today we are going from April 30th all the way through May 5th. Some great stories, some interesting stories this week, I know. We were sitting back there looking at our notes and we were just like, man, this is going to be a good show. Let's do it. But before we get to that show, first, if you like our show, and we really hope that you do, you can let us know by going to info@followthesoundpodcast.com and just send us an email to that address, info@followthesoundpodcast.com. In your email and tell us if we're doing a good job or a really sucky job. If you send us an email, we'll read it on air because that's what I want to do.
Especially if you think we're really sucky.
Yes, especially if you think we're really bad. So that's once again, info@followthesoundpodcast.com. And if you want to go to our website, you can click on the Amazon banner on the right-hand side. It'll take you to Amazon, and you can do all of your normal shopping, and it won't cost you anything extra, but we get a little bit of money back from everything that you purchase. So go on there and buy your albums, buy a turntable, buy anything that you want. Doesn't matter. And we get a little bit of percentage back, and it won't cost you anything else. So
you
go to the website.
You don't get charged extra
yes.
at all.
So go to followthesoundpodcast.com and click on that banner or go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. It'll take you to the same place. Once again, I want to thank lineupmedia.fm for allowing us to do the program. Go to lineupmedia.fm and you can find all sorts of great podcasts that are out there. Also, if you happen to be listening to us randomly on Yo Radio's lineup station, welcome.
Hi.
We're happy that you're here listening to us on Yo Radio. But if you just downloaded our show or you're tuning in through some other means, we also want to thank you too. But go to lineupmedia.fm and check out all the great programs that we have there. Or if you want to find some other stuff on Yo Radio, go to yoradio.com or download the app on iTunes.
Whew.
Boom. That's a lot. That's a lot to get through.
All right.
That's all stored in my head too. I don't write that stuff down. That's all up there.
Folks, are you ready?
Yes. Let's do some music history.
Okay. So April 30th, first day, first story. And it's a real happy one. 1975 was the year, and Bing Crosby's White Christmas was playing. What? April 30th?
That makes no sense.
Well, it was the end of the Vietnam War, and an American radio station played the tune during the fall of Saigon. It was the American signal for those Yanks to evacuate.
Oh, wow.
So White Christmas was kind of the whole, this is a Christmas song, that's the cue to get the hell out.
Let's leave, everyone.
Everyone go.
Dream of that White Christmas, away from here.
Very eerie, I would imagine.
It would make sense, though, because, I mean, if you didn't have a lot of people, I would assume that in Vietnam they wouldn't know, like,
it's
what.
It's just an American song.
It's just an American song. It's like they wouldn't know that it was a Christmas song. So.
Yeah, that it was our retreat signal.
Yeah.
Mm. Or that it was like 30 years out of the top 40.
I wonder though, like if like around Christmas
the
time though.
The nuance of it, Jake.
But here's the thing. If it was Christmas time, what did they play?
Also Christmas music? They still
I
did.
I mean, well.
Because they would have had to have played
here's
White Christmas.
Here's the answer to that is that during Christmas, they weren't that close to Saigon. That wasn't a plan yet.
Well, we were in Vietnam mm-hmm. for like a long, long time.
Yes.
And so it's like if we had a song
this
bug
didn't
out
come down from the top.
Then how did everyone know to leave?
Maybe it was just in conjunction with it.
Do you not understand how plans work, Brian?
Yes, I understand how plans work. You make plans and God laughs.
Yes. Yeah. The best laid plans of mice and men. No. Okay. So if I tell you, hey, you and I, we're going to a concert Friday. And when I send you a text on Facebook, that you should leave the house and we'll arrive nearly at the same time. I didn't have to come up with that plan when I started going to concerts. I started my campaign of going to metal concerts.
All right. Good.
Thanks, thanks, but, Jake.
But I'm sorry. Actually, there is an answer to that, and that's the Pennsylvania Polka. I don't know.
Yeah, so the point was is that it was played, people heard it, it was creepy, and they all
bugged out.
They got out.
All right, let's jump on up to 1976, a whole year later. The Who's drummer, Keith Moon, paid 9 cab drivers to block off both ends of a New York street so he could throw the contents of his hotel room out of the window.
Yeah, rock and roll.
That is Keith Moon.
So I think it's extremely courteous of him to take the time and the effort to hire 9 taxi cabs to block off the street first.
Oh, no, but it's still self-preservation. He just didn't want to kill anyone.
Yeah, well, I mean, but good for him. I mean, he got the taxis, he blocked it off, and then he said, okay, now I'm going to go crazy up in
yes.
here. Or it's an opportunity to be a glory hound.
True.
Right. Like, hey, I'm going to go up there and throw shit out that window. You stay down here and watch it. Look, I got things to do. I'll pay you to stay here.
You don't move, and I will pay you twice as much as they do.
Well, you don't even have to bargain at that point.
That's
if you're,
rock and roll,
if you're
man.
Literally just paying someone.
I want
their
somebody
salary.
To recreate this now, except do it with Uber.
He just, as he threw things out the window, he needs to be like, look, the moment it hits the ground, it's going to be worth like thousands of dollars.
That would
it's a real authentic Keith Moon thrown item.
That would only work if you drove a Lyft car out
he's
the
just,
window.
He's signing stuff like as he throws yeah. it out. Like, here's the TV. Keith Moon. Chuck. I got it. I like it. That's great.
Hey, what's your name? Rick to Rick.
Here you go. Catch.
Cool. That was a real rock and roll moment there.
You want the mattress?
You know what else was really rock and roll? Jake's story from 88.
Oh, yeah. This is just gleaming with sex and drugs.
Ooh.
1988. An unknown Canadian singer named Celine Dion wins the Eurovision Song Contest in Switzerland.
Woo.
Because she was singing in Canada. That's a typo. Anyhow, I don't need to draw attention to it. I could be a professional and cover that up. However, today, apparently.
We're just going to point it out.
I'm just going to point out everything. Her song was, boy, this is fun. Yeah, because my French is terrible. Is Ne Partez Pas Sans Moi.
Goes a little something like this.
Ne partez pas sans moi.
Moi.
Laissez-moi vous suivre. Qui vole vers d'autres vies. Laissez-moi vivre. La plus belle aventure. Le plus beau voyage. Qui rêve un jour sur mer.
Oh, yeah.
I don't need any moi of that. We can stop right
moi.
There.
Moi.
So here's the thing. It looks like that actually was performed for the French.
For the French?
For Switzerland.
For the Swiss.
Yeah, no.
They're calling in ringers now for Eurovision?
Yes, apparently. Oh, I don't know how.
Shame.
I don't know how she performed.
Maybe, it was probably because she sang a song in French that helped.
But they don't speak French in Switzerland.
They speak Swiss German.
They speak German, but they're friends with the French, kind of. And
but how?
They speak French in Canada. So
The song is the Swiss winning entry for Eurovision in 1988, performed by Canadian Celine Dion.
The song translates to, "Oh, Switzerland."
But here's the other funnier thing.
Best country in the world.
It was written by a Turkish songwriter and a Swiss composer.
Say Swiss wrist watches.
All this international effort, and this is what they came up with.
Swiss wrist watches.
And they beat the UK with their entry Go, performed by Scott Fitzgerald.
Oof. Ugh. Well, I will say, though, that her singing actually was quite beautiful there.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, did they just, like, hire her to sing it?
No, she probably just got in.
Like, is there a rule that says, like, the person performing it has to be from your country of origin?
She's part of the British Commonwealth.
I want to find out. Like, this is intriguing to me now.
All right, listen.
Let's get into the deep, dark secrets of Eurovision.
You're a young Canadian wannabe pop star.
Yes. Oh, yes. Folks, if you find this video as well on YouTube, check it out. Because Celine Dion does not actually look like Celine Dion. She looks like Robin Sparkles, who is a fellow Canadian pop singer from How I Met Your Mother.
I'm sure that's who she's modeled after.
That's what she looks like, and it's kind of creepy.
All right. Birthdays.
Just wanted to let you know that.
It's birthday time.
Yeah, let's do birthdays.
Time for birthdays.
And we are going to start off with the Mad Hatter himself. In 1947, Colonel Bruce Hampton, the leader of the Bruce Hampton Grease Band and the Aquarium Rescue Unit, is born in Gustav Valentin Berglund. Excuse me, he is born as Gustav Valentin Berglund III in Knoxville, Tennessee.
You know,
they called him Bruce.
Yes.
Bruce Hampton.
Yes. Gustav.
But his real name was Gustav Valentin Berglund.
You know, I think
the third.
The Colonel would have worked really well with his birth name, too, I think. Like, Colonel Gustav Valentin Berglund III.
So how did he get the name Colonel?
He started wearing a, like, Civil War-esque, completely fictitional.
That's it?
Completely fictitious.
That's it?
Yeah, he just adopted the Colonel moniker. And that was sort of his most popular tour.
That's like the worst. I mean, you know,
listen,
see the videos online.
Listen, there are two people on the planet, well, three people on the planet, that get away with giving themselves their own nicknames. All right? That's Joey Coco Diaz, Old Dirty Bastard, and Bruce Hampton.
I've actually talked with Joey Coco Diaz.
He's like a presence.
I feel like this is an instance of, what is it, stolen valor or stolen honor?
Yeah, because that's exactly.
Colonel Sanders has been arrested for stolen valor.
Yeah, because when you see a guy show up with a cavalry hat on, a saber, and tassels on his shoulders, everyone thinks, he served right.
Like, I'm surprised. Like, I mean, if you're going to go for that, then why not go for, like, Colonel Bruce Hampton and his saber rattling band?
Don't question the artist.
Don't question the Bruce Hampton.
The Timber Boys.
You do not question the Colonel.
No.
Okay. All right. Well, speaking of.
That's it, right? That was the only birthday we had for that day?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
I mean, I could have drug up a bunch of people you've never heard of before.
True.
And then read about them myself and then written a small bio for them.
Tune in to...
As if you were their biggest fan.
As if I was their biggest fan.
Tune in to Jake's new podcast, This Week in Birthdays.
Yeah.
Happy birthday to Patty Sue. Yeah. Happy birthday to Jilly Doo.
Born today, Montgomery, Alabama's favorite mechanic, Josh Hampton.
Yep. There you go.
Montgomery, Alabama.
All right. Well,
let's get on to May 1st.
Yeah, that's one day in the books.
1942. I almost feel like I should do this as like an old newsreel, you know.
May 1st.
May 1st, 1942. The U.S. government seizes the nation's jukebox factories and puts them to work making war materials.
For the war effort. Buy war bonds.
Buy war bonds. Protect our boys.
Yes. So if you didn't catch that, the U.S. government took our country's cherished jukebox factories and turned them into making parts for the war machine.
That's understandable. We were a nation at war, but
well, they were installing stereos, duh. All those jets had to get their own, like, you know, radio systems and stuff in them. That's
actually
just me making this.
One of the jukebox companies, I'm pretty sure, ended up pressing tins for like mess kits.
Yeah, a lot of those places ended up making, like, they didn't switch over like, oh, we're making jukeboxes and now we're making Shermans. You know, it was more so just like, you know, oh, we were making jukeboxes, now we're making this small wooden thing that goes in this other ship or something.
Yeah.
Or sometimes they did, though, because GM's Gaslight and Headlight Company. Anyway, the company that they had that pressed headlights ended up making the M3 grease gun.
Oh, nice. Well, because that was all pressed metal when they did it. That makes sense.
It kind of makes sense.
You've stumbled onto Jake and I's other, like, weird obsession, which is war history. So
tune in to Brian and Jake War History Podcast.
I don't know. I'm full of stupid tidbits like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, do you know who made the Apollo mission, the gloves for the Apollo mission?
No.
Playtex.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I actually did know that.
Because they're like, hey, let's go to someone who's really good at making cloth bind to very small steel.
Nice.
Underwire.
New online at Media Group, Jake's Useless Trivia Podcast.
But have you ever read anything about FDR just like absorbing companies into the government and seizing property?
Yeah. Oh, it was not cool, but still.
Yeah. I mean, Congress had to put a stop to it because he was like, yes, over there, rambling Dixie's Bean Co. company, you're going to stop being a restaurant and you're going to make food for the war effort. Like everything was.
Yeah.
Anyone who said no was getting sued. Anyway. You know what? That's a different point.
You know what, Jake? Really is. You're drafted, mister.
Let's move on to the next.
I would not be good for anything in the war effort.
I'm pretty sure that I'd be labeled as 4F. I mean, from the get-go, so.
Or just like target practice.
I got flat feet. Can't fight. No, I'm kidding. I don't actually have flat feet. But I am a giant and I'm overweight, so.
You there. Go stand over there.
Do you want to join the paratroopers? No, I'll fall.
You, sir, go pick up that log. All right.
You want to go fight against the Germans? No, I'm a giant.
I take that back. I could have served in a lighthouse.
Hey.
The only two skills I have is being awake and staying focused for a long time. Lighthouse duty.
There you go. United States Coast Guard.
How about you, young sir? You want to go serve on one of our naval submarines?
Yeah.
We have a picture of Jake and I together on an old World War II submarine.
Yeah.
I couldn't.
The USS Drum.
The USS Drum down in Mobile, Alabama, and I couldn't get through the door because that thing was so tiny.
Yeah. I watched. They have like, okay, so you walk onto the ship from a gangplank, and then you walk down a set of like double stairs that are cut into the ship, and you've got a left side and a right side to the ship. So you go in the left and come out the right. So I watched Brian walk down the flight of stairs, okay? And then, and I kid you not, this family of Japanese tourists walk onto the ship, get to the stairs, and then they part as he comes immediately back up the stairs.
Yep.
Huh.
Because he realized as soon as he walked down there, he's like, look, no 164 should ever attempt to enter a submarine.
Man, that is
because you
true.
Will not make it out alive. And yeah. It's true. That thing was tight. It was tight, and they had cut away bulkheads to make it easier for
they made it more touristy.
For someone who is 6'6 like myself, it is not a pleasant thing.
Well, I will say that you both have some fantastic like submarine beards going.
Yeah.
Because you know, you get on that ship, you just let it go. You guys look like you've been out at sea a little too long.
You know why I got
true.
This beard, son?
Doing nothing.
It's cut. Nope. That's where you're wrong. This is all thought out. Look, when you're in the middle of a firefight and you're trying to run from some Nazi destroyers, you don't have time to grab your grease mitt. I just put it up here in my beard, and then I just run my face right over here. Just anything to get lubricated. I don't know why. I just think submariners were really greasy.
War Stories with Jake podcast online at Media Group.
I have to create a character for that. It's like Uncle Dan. War Stories with Uncle Dan. My name's Roger. It's Uncle Dan today.
Dan.
Well, let's go ahead and move on to the next story, which surprisingly is also military related.
Yeah. So, in 1967 on May 1st, the FBI arrested none other than the Beach Boys, Carl Wilson. His charge, avoiding the military draft and refusing to take the Oath of Allegiance. Of course, he was later released and joined the rest of the band on a British tour that was currently in Ireland, and they might have played this.
When he was picked up, they asked him why he didn't show up, and he said this. That's all I'm going to play. I just thought that was funny.
Carl Wilson.
Carl Wilson, everybody!
Officially dodging the draft.
Yeah, well, I mean, everybody did it back then, basically. Look at all of our politicians.
The hip thing to do. Not John McCain. Oh, yeah.
All right, what do we got next?
We're going to go back to Bruce Hampton.
Ooh.
Because the very next day after his what would have been his birthday, in 2017, at the Fox Theater in Atlanta, John Popper, Susan Tedeschi, Widespread Panic, and many other artists performed at a tribute to Colonel Bruce Hampton in celebration of his 70th birthday. Hampton, a mentor to many musicians, collapsed on stage and died during the encore.
Wow.
His friend Scott McKinney said, "Bruce was the only person I could think of that has ever played at his own funeral."
Wow. He collapsed and died during the encore of his own birthday party. Honestly,
70 years in one day.
I'll tell you right now, though, that actually is not a bad way to go. I mean, like, that's probably the best case scenario, really, is to have a huge party and then die during the encore. Like, the party's over after that, right? And you kind of, that's the showstopper.
If he missed out on cake, though.
Well, shoot, I would like to think they would have had cake earlier in the night.
You would hope so.
But it's also a shame that he passed away. Well, I guess we shouldn't
No, look, trust me, that guy's sense of humor, you could say anything about him right now. You could say anything about him and he'd be fine with it. It wouldn't bother him.
Hmm.
Other than his music was unimportant.
Should we say something insensitive?
Insensitive?
For the moment?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
let's see.
Hang on. April 1st, 2017, Bruce Hampton and 15 unregistered hemorrhoids died on stage.
Actually, okay. That was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
Because hemorrhoids are the worst.
They really are. You know what? I miss that guy. I was really sad. I was super sad when he died.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Was that something like, was that televised?
No. He's really only big in the Tennessee music.
Or like recorded? I mean, is there like footage?
You know, I don't know.
Huh.
Okay. I really don't know.
We'll put that on the to-do list then.
But we can put him in a small category of people who crushed it and then died right on stage. Him and Parky Carcass. And
Tiny Tim.
Tiny Tim.
And Tiny Tim. All right, it's time for some birthdays.
Yeah, let's move on to, 1907. Radio performer Kate Smith, who is known for her rendition of God Bless America, is born Catherine Elizabeth Smith in Greenville, Virginia. On her 24th birthday in 1931, the NBC show Kate Smith Sings debuts.
Her 24th birthday.
Yeah.
She had a TV show. Wow. So she did God Bless America. I feel like that's a pretty surefire way to get a little bit of publicity when you sing something really patriotic.
True. True.
So, like, what else did Kate Smith do?
I don't
know.
She sang
a lot of songs with a lot of different people.
She kind of just did everything.
She really did. I mean, she's got a great voice, for one. And I'm not going to say she was the first, but really kind of became the destination show for people to, like, break in the business on.
What, the Kate Smith Sings?
Yeah, because you would come and play your song, and Kate Smith would sing your song with you.
Oh, cool.
And
she was known as the First Lady of Radio, as well as the Songbird of the South.
Oh, that's a great nickname, too. Oh, she probably makes me think she's from Greenbow, Alabama, but she's from Greenville, Virginia. So
real, there you go.
Real place. Well, you guys want another great birthday?
Yeah, let's do it.
Well, I don't know if you heard of this guy, but in 1954, guitarist and songwriter and performer of the Ghostbusters theme is born in Detroit, Michigan. Ladies and gentlemen, Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
Woo!
That's a good one, actually.
Bustin' makes me feel good. That's a line from the song.
It is.
We would have played the Ghostbusters theme, but we've already done that before, and I didn't feel like doing it again.
It might be a little played out.
Maybe we'll play it at the end.
Literally,
let's just play it at the end.
Greg doing Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good is as good as listening to it.
Bustin' Makes Me Feel Good.
See?
All right. Well, then there's nothing left to do but move on to May 2nd, I guess.
May 2nd. What do we got?
1989. Michael Jackson, wearing a wig and fake mustache, enters a Zales jewelry store in Simi Valley, California. Security finds him suspicious and calls the police, who show up to explain that you can't wear a disguise in a jewelry store.
Even if you're Michael Jackson.
Wow. Damn government.
It's funny.
That's still an interesting source.
Yeah, because Michael Jackson could go to a store and security would just find that suspicious to begin with. But then he comes in like, fake mustache. Like, is that Michael Jackson in a wig? I think so. That's really suspicious. Like, they knew it was him the whole time.
I don't know. It does prove, though, that you can be too weird for a jewelry store in the Valley. I didn't know that was possible.
Well, this guy's really eccentric.
Well, let's jump on up a few decades to 2009, where I have an interesting story.
Another incognito.
Yes, kind of. I think it was just that nobody recognized him. But in 2009, Bob Dylan mingled unnoticed with other Beatles tourists during a minibus tour to John Lennon's childhood home. He was one of 14 tourists to examine photos and documents in the National Trust-owned home where Lennon grew up with his Aunt Mimi and Uncle George. Dylan, who was on a day off from a European tour, paid £16 for the public trip to the 1940s house in Woolton, Liverpool.
Wow. Okay. So
I like that, though. It's still very nice because it's just like, I've got a day off. What am I going to do? I'm going to go on a Beatles tour.
Yeah.
It's like, I just not tell anybody, like, that's on the sweet crew. Just like, I'm just going to go. Bye.
And I guess it makes more sense, Bob Dylan being in England, to maybe not just get, like, recognized right away. Because, I mean, I think he can walk around here in the U.S. and not get recognized some places just because nobody expects to see Bob Dylan. But that's also, like, really cool. Can you imagine, like, looking through your old group photos or something that you took while you were there and later just being like, wait a second, like, that's Bob Dylan.
And that's a good place for that story to happen. Because if you were like, hey, how was your trip to Europe? And you're like, oh, it was great. We went to Buchenau and toured the memorial there, and we were with Bob Dylan the whole time. It was amazing.
I saw Bob Dylan at Auschwitz.
Yeah, exactly.
Random tours with Bob Dylan.
And he sang a song.
Wow.
It would be inappropriate.
That would be very inappropriate.
That's what I'm saying.
You've crossed the line, Greg. How dare
excuse me, but the thought of Bob Dylan playing in a grassy field that once harnessed atrocities seems fitting in a way.
I mean, can you not sing at all at Auschwitz?
I mean, yeah, you probably shouldn't.
You probably shouldn't.
Yeah.
I would argue that there are some songs that are appropriate.
Remember Justin Bieber got in trouble for going to the Anne Frank house and saying that I believe that Anne Frank would have been a Belieber.
Yeah, but that's just silly. Come on, Justin.
Also, that's from a child.
But, I mean, you know, Bob Dylan, though, I think, like, I mean, If he went to Auschwitz and sang a song, like just sang like one of his normal songs, had nothing to do with the Holocaust or anything like that, that'd be really weird, and I think it would be highly disrespectful.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But if he sang a song that was about the Holocaust and like how it affected his life or something like that, I would say that's okay.
Well, even just Bob Dylan doing like Amazing Grace, I think would be appropriate.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't feel that was insensitive, but maybe that's just me being insensitive. I don't know. We shouldn't just move on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I want to see somebody try and play that off. Like, look, I walked there and I was overcome with emotion. And I Love the Flower Girl didn't sum up my emotions the best, but it was all I could think of at the time.
I just knew that today was the right day for me to put that penny whistle in my back pocket.
Oh, God.
All right. Okay. Let's go ahead and jump on to some birthdays.
All right. Well, everybody's favorite English pop singer had a birthday on May 2nd. In the year 1936, none other than Engelbert Humperdinck is born. Arnold George Dorsey in Madras, British India, the present-day Chennai, India, and he'll borrow his stage name from the German composer of the 1893 opera Hansel and Gretel. Ladies and gentlemen, Engelbert Humperdinck. Hey.
Just tell me what happens to Prince Humperdinck.
He goes on to record a great version of the Lord's Prayer that we air every morning on KMOX.
Every morning? Have they just switched to just playing Engelbert
Humperdinck? Exclusively Engelbert. Engelbert in the mornings, they call it.
We used to play like different different ones, different versions.
Nope, we got rid of all of
Engelberts.
Them. It's all Engelbert, all Dinkin, all day, we call it.
Huh.
Yeah, happy birthday, Engelbert.
How do you pull that off the record label, though?
What,
because
the Lord's Prayer?
No, the name change.
Engelbert?
Humperdinck, yeah. How...
It stands out.
You know,
he didn't even get to release albums under his own name. For a while, I think his first album was released as Jerry Dorsey. And then at some point, somebody came up with, like, you need a stage name. Like, Dorsey's just not going to work. And somehow he pulled that off.
And he was like, well, you know, my greatest mentor was the composer of the 1893 opera Hansel and Gretel. And seeing as how this is 1980s England.
Just eccentric enough.
I got something for you, though.
Okay.
1944.
Oh.
English drummer Bob Henrit, or Henry, I'm not entirely sure, is born in Brobourne, Hertfordshire, England. You might know him from a little band called The Kinks. Oh, yes.
Yeah. That song specifically is like the epitome of when rock and roll like started kicking ass.
Yeah. The Kinks definitely were like crazy.
That I mean,
they were so over the top in their performances. It was great.
That's some good stuff. Some good stuff.
They were rock and roll.
The drummer, of course, you know, that was a sad time for drummers where they would, I think, just mix them down just a little too low in the mix. But we fixed that over the years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. What else we got?
It's hard to screw up that guitar sound. That's got to be one of the best guitar sounds in rock. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Next, we got in 1951, John Glasscock, bassist for Jethro Tull, is born in Islington, Greater London, England. And of all the members of Jethro Tull that we've mentioned on the show, that town has the most boring name.
We had all English male musicians for birthdays.
We got some military stuff and we got British towns. This is what we got.
Okay.
I like it.
Bam, we got May 3rd coming up.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Ooh, ooh, ooh. This is a good one.
Ooh. Yes, it is.
So 1939, the great and wonderful Andrew Sister record Beer Barrel Polka. It goes a little something like this.
Everybody feels so tra-la-la. They want to throw their cares away. They all go la-di-ya-di-ya. When they hear a rumble on the floor, it's a big surprise they're waiting for. And all the couples form a ring. For miles around you hear them sing.
Papa.
I think you found the wrong polka.
No, Beer Barrel Polka.
There it is. Roll out.
Roll out the barrel. We got the blues on the run.
Boom, Carrera.
There you go. We need to work on those cues, fellas.
Yeah, they like seriously went a minute and like 20 seconds in before getting to that part of
Fortunately,
the song.
1939, I think we're in the free domain here. Thank goodness.
One can only hope.
No, but...
it was only like a 2 minute and 15 second song anyway.
Unbeknownst to us, there's a 104-year-old accordion player who still has rights to that.
I get the royalties.
I wrote that song in 1897.
Yeah, he's the kind of guy that starts everything out by stating his name, you know? He's like, I am Henrik Cheaterdoe, and I wrote that song in 1938, and I will not have these millennials just stealing my thunder.
Degenerates on their webs.
I'm aware that this character is going everywhere. I don't have a handle on him yet.
Well,
but we're not going to let him brew. We're going
to
move on.
Let's do the next one.
Wait, whoa. Andrew Sisters, I just got to say, I don't think you can listen to their music without being cheerful. That stuff like...
Very cheerful.
It's impossible to like try and frown and listen to the roll out the barrel.
You know what? I could. If you heard that and you were in surgery...
You just could not crack a little smile?
No, I think you'd still be miserable.
The doctor was like, don't smile. Don't you smile.
The doctor's just like, you know, what kind of music would you like to listen to? Doesn't matter. We've got the Andrew Sisters.
It's like
all Andrew Sisters all the time.
Whenever you go to answer, it's just, okay, and they just press play. Dun, 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 dun. All right.
Roll out the patient.
Oh, hey, so our next story from May 3rd jumps way into the future from 39 to the year 2010 and what you may remember as being the summer of the Black Eyed Peas. I got a feeling their song reaches 5,561,000 downloads, making it the best-selling digital song to that point, surpassing Flo Rida's Low. Y'all remember I Got a Feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever go to a wedding or literally any social event in 2010?
It is still played to this day at every social event.
Just about.
Everywhere.
Fill up my cup. Mazel tov.
Well, you know, Will.i.am actually would come through St. Louis practically every year because he's a big supporter of the First Robotics thing.
They
always have those tournaments in St. Louis, although I think it moved this year.
Will.i.am.
Yeah, so he just like showed up.
They say on his tombstone they should put Will.i.was.
That's funny. He's just going to release albums after that too as Will.i.was.
And people will just leave like mink boots on his grave. Like,
I dig it.
That's tribute. Okay.
We got some birthdays though.
Yay.
Yeah, we do. 1903. Bing Crosby is born Harry Lillis Crosby Jr. in Tacoma, Washington.
Ah, Tacoma.
He had a very forgettable career, but in 1975, before the U.S. pulled out of Vietnam,
he had this one shining moment.
When his song was played once, and a lot of people ran away.
Oh,
poor Bing.
Bing Crosby. Well,
had a bunch of good movies, too. I like that.
More birthdays?
1933, the great and powerful James Brown is born in Burnwell, South Carolina. But he will be raised, of course, in Augusta, Georgia.
Very nice. I later owned a radio station.
That's black power.
I love James Brown.
That's a great speech that he gives, too. So that's great, you know. I've always liked that speech that we played it a couple of times on the show, so.
Happy
birthday to James Brown, the godfather of soul.
Ow!
Yeah. It's good stuff.
Get on, no. All right. 1951. Our next birthday comes from a young man named Christopher Charles Geppert in San Antonio, Texas, later on to be known as Christopher Cross.
Yes, Christopher Cross.
Happy birthday, Christopher Cross.
I like that.
And we have one more birthday.
Wait, what songs did Christopher Cross do?
He did that I'm Sailing Away song, right?
Yeah.
And he did...
One from that Dustin Hoffman movie?
Yeah.
Arthur's theme?
Yeah, Arthur's theme. He's done a few, like, he's had a few hits. He's not just like a one-hit wonder.
Ride Like the Wind.
Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of. Ride Like the Wind. He still does that, right? Christopher Cross is still alive. He still performs that
think
song.
Think of Laura. I can't believe I forgot about that.
Tell Laura I Love Her?
No.
No, I'm kidding.
Think of Laura.
Think of Laura.
It's a good song. Look it up sometime.
Will do.
Homework. All right. Lest it not be said that we don't appreciate today's musicians as well.
True.
Because in 1981, Father John Misty was born Josh Tillman in Rockville, Maryland. I'm going to make it through the show.
Yes, you will.
Rockville, Maryland, the home of everything country. When you think of Rockville, think country. Ding,
ding, ding, ding. So, I don't really know a lot about Father John Misty other than the fact that the hipsters seem to really love him.
Is he the dude? No, that's not him. I don't want to embarrass myself here.
I've only heard a couple of his songs, so I can't really say anything about it. But I know that he did a show at the Pageant last year, and apparently it sold well.
How about this? If you Googled him, what's like the first song that comes up?
The Just Dumb Enough to Try, or maybe... Oh, it's probably the one with Macaulay Culkin in it.
One I got here is Leaving L.A. Oh.
Which one? Which
for,
one?
For the first video that came up was Leaving L.A.
Press play on that bad boy. Just hit it. Just do
Let's
it.
Let's see. All right, fine.
Let's see what happens.
On the YouTube.
Because 81, he's a young guy. Ooh.
I can see why the hipsters like him.
Let me see.
Well, it's just the studio right now on the video.
Oh. That is something hipsters like.
I was living on the hill.
All right, I already hate this.
I don't think it's bad.
By the water tower and hiking trails.
Sounds like it could be from the 60s.
Sounds like he's trying to sing a song
when
from the South.
When the big one hit, I'd have a seat.
It sounds like Marxism put to music to me.
Now, is he an actual man of the cloth?
No.
Well.
Sorry.
So we have another stolen
title.
Dollar here. Father John Misty. What, he's got a kid? Join the club.
That is religious appropriation.
Actually, none of us have kids. Yeah.
You know what is stopping me from just calling myself Deacon Crum? Effort.
The name change.
I mean, that's it, yeah.
Right on. Okay.
All right. May 4th.
May 4th.
Known as Star Wars Day.
May the 4th.
We have a lot of good things here. 1957, Alan Freed's Rock and Roll Review debuts on ABC. The show is an attempt to replicate the success of their own hit American Bandstand. The first show features performances from the Clovers, the Del Vikings, Screamin' Jay Hawkins, Sal Mineo, and Guy Mitchell. That's a good lineup. I dig it.
Can't say as I've seen this episode.
I can't say either, but I knew the show existed. I've never actually seen footage of it. But of course, I mean, at that time, they were really trying to duplicate American Bandstand. So, yeah.
Well,
and that's the only story I got for that day.
Yeah, we can see how well that Rock and Roll Review went over. We all seem to have loads of information on it.
Well, I'm just saying. It's there. I just don't know.
It existed. That's the point. Yeah. Okay. Birthdays.
All right. Let's go back in time. Can I get some going back in time music? That'll work. 1655, Florentine harpsichord maker Bartolomeo Cristofori is born. In 1709, he invents something most everyone has in their home.
At the time?
Piano.
A toilet.
No, the piano.
Oh, you already said it. Oh.
The piano.
The piano.
Oh, nice.
The piano.
Nice job with his pronunciation.
Is it bad that I was also thinking, like, I kept thinking of time travel music that I could do? And so
too late. The first thing that came to mind was Wayne's World. So.
That yeah, Wayne's right. World doing that. Then of course the next thing that popped into my head was the theme to Back to the Future. Da, da, da,
da, da, da, da, da. Who does the song Time Machine? Is that Def Leppard?
I don't know that
Time
one.
Time Machine.
The other one I thought of was The other one I thought of was Doctor Who. Da, da, da.
Or maybe you could do like Twilight Zone.
Yeah.
Or maybe something original like we're going back in time.
Follow the sounds, back in time song.
It's the Back in Time podcast with Jake. Take it away, Jake.
I cannot for the life of me remember the intro to the time tunnel.
Oh, I don't know that one offhand. Right, sorry.
Our clock says we have reached 45 minutes in
yes.
this podcast.
Thank you for
we
the
We only
update.
Got a few more that we got to do here. So
here we go. In 1959, for our next birthday, on May 4th, Randy Travis is born. Woo! Give it up for Randy Bruce Trawick of Marshville, North Carolina. Ladies and gentlemen, Randy Travis.
Friend of the show, you know, Randy Travis.
You know what's funny is that it might not have actually been pronounced Trawick. It might have been pronounced Travik. It might have been like a German.
Well,
Travik.
It's T-R-A-Y-W-I-C-K. Yeah, Trawick.
So, yeah, I'm just saying.
Interesting fact. Well, I'm just letting the people know. It's not just us here. Brian, you can't forget about our friend
these
also
are, these
right
are the
here.
Weird things I think of though. It's like, you know, oh, how does this name, what is the root of this name? Where does it come from? What is the history?
Genealogy podcast with Brian Kroc.
I'm fascinated by that stuff. That's just me though. I dig it.
Mm-hmm. I will mention this about Randy Travis. The man had a stroke and then came back from it.
Yeah.
So like
he's tough.
Lucky, tough, whatever you want to call it.
He's also been in several movies.
Yeah, I can't name any of them. Wasn't one of them a really terrible...
I think he was in Black Dog with Patrick Swayze.
That was just what I was going to say. I was going to say, wasn't he in that really like terrible Western
there
or whatever?
There was something about a dog and
with
it was
Patrick
black.
Swayze.
No. That Black Dog is about a truck driver.
Oh. Okay, that's not
a
what
big
I was
rig.
Thinking. Okay.
But yeah, I think he was in a really bad Western as well. I don't
is
know.
Is it we'll a vampire Western?
Oh, I hope not.
Is he in the one? Wait,
is that
no.
Like From Dusk Till Dawn?
Isn't he in? Oh, what is it? It's got Corey Feldman and the talk Dennis Miller. I think it has Dennis Miller and Corey Feldman.
Hunting
and
vampires.
It was like it was a TV movie from some cable channel.
Oh God, I don't know.
All right, this...
Yeah, we're way off the rails yeah. now.
We're in Jake's brain. There's a problem.
Oh, no.
Well, happy birthday, right. Randy Travis.
And that is all we got for Star Wars Day. But what we got next is something real nice. We got May 5th, 1984, Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders marries Jim Kerr of Simple Minds. And, of course, Pretenders, you know, on that day when she married him, she wrote this song.
I'll stand by you. I'll stand by you. Won't let nobody hurt you. I'll stand by you.
Jim. I have no idea when she wrote that song,
Jim.
Or if she wrote it for him or whatever. But I just thought that'd be a good little segue.
Jim, I love you so much. I wrote you a little song. Everybody, if I could have your attention, please. All right. Well, in 2008, to thank fans for years of support, because we know that fans have had to wait for some new music from Trent Reznor, Nine Inch Nails. He posted the album, The Slip, for free on his website. So in 2008, did you guys get yourself that free download?
I did not.
No?
No.
Mm.
I should have, but I didn't.
But Jacob Crum.
I did, and then my computer died.
He was nodding enthusiastically. So you downloaded it, and then that's what crashed the computer?
Yeah,
that's brutal!
No, that hard drive was like 4 years old anyway.
No, dude, the album crashed your computer. That's boss.
Well, it couldn't handle it.
Trent Reznor would have been proud.
All right.
Trashed your computer, man.
What do we got for birthdays, though?
Oh, we were talking about this before
the show. We were talking about this before the show.
Because we're both big fans. of a little lady born in 1942. Tammy Wynette was born. Virginia Wynette Pugh. It doesn't matter.
I think it's Pugh.
She's got a great voice, and she's from Mississippi.
But I see these are the things that bring you pleasure. So I'm gonna make some changes in our home. I've heard it said, if you can't beat them, join them. So if that's the way you've wanted me to be, I'll change if it takes that to make you happy. From now on you're gonna see a different me. Because you're good girls are gonna go bad. I'm gonna be the swinginest swinger you've ever had.
Ooh.
If you like them painted up, powdered up, then you ought to be glad. Cause you're good girls are gonna go bad.
She's one of those floozies.
Yeah, Tammy Wynette nowadays gets a lot of shit for writing Stand By Your Man. But,
what are you talking about? It's a great song.
It is a good song. It's a really good song. But it gets targeted by amateur feminists.
It's not PC in 2018.
Right. But literally, if you ever got actually bothered to listen to a Tammy Wynette album, every song is about like having your own career. Every single song is about that.
Yeah, it's super,
I don't
want to
play
feminist.
House with you. Good girl's gonna go bad. I mean, every other song but Stand By Your Man is the antithesis to Stand By Your Man. So
that's interesting, Jake. That's actually very interesting to bring up. Very relevant.
I'm gonna jump ahead here though to the next one.
Okay.
Because this is a vast transition from one birthday in one genre to another birthday in a very different genre. We have in 1948, just a few short years later, Bill Ward, who is, of course, the drummer for Black Sabbath, is born in Ashton, Birmingham, England.
I love Bill Ward, and I don't think he gets enough credit.
He doesn't.
For his contributions, not just to Sabbath albums or that band, but to the genre of metal in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed. Completely agree.
There you go. Just period. Doesn't
that's it.
Drum
that's
solo.
Happy birthday, Bill Ward. You're still with us. And please find something to do on this continent. I really want to see you. I have yet to really have the chance to see Bill Ward play, and I want to.
All right.
Come do a show with us, Bill.
All right, Greg.
Good luck.
All right, Greg. You started this show. Bring us home. Come on.
To close
bring
out
it home.
The show. Here we go. You ready?
Go for it.
You ready?
Go.
The year was 1988. Adele was born. She was Adele Laurie Blue Adkins, and she was born in Tottenham, London, England.
Yep. Good job, Greg.
That's how you pronounce those English
Tottenham.
Names. You just say it as quick as you can. Tottenham.
Yes. I've told them before that the only reason why I know why that's pronounced that way is because one of my coworkers is a huge fan of the Tottenham Hotspurs, and so he's always going on about them.
Adele. Lots
yes,
of awards.
Tons of awards.
She had vocal surgery.
Yes, and then came back.
And then came back.
And won a ton of Grammys.
And still won a ton of Grammys.
Yes.
She most recently actually just got ordained so that she could do her friend's wedding.
Hmm.
This was like just a few weeks ago.
That's pretty cool.
Uh-huh.
I know one thing is that in her concerts, she actually likes to get somebody up on stage and have them sing.
Oh, yeah. Like, because she helped somebody do a proposal on stage
long
ago, too.
She'll like get somebody up on stage, and she's like, all right, go ahead, sing a song. It can be mine. It can be whatever you want. Do whatever you want. It's your show. Go.
Can't touch this. Do, no, no, no. No,
so you get these random people singing different songs.
Farewell and adieu to you Spanish ladies. She's shanty, everyone. Farewell and adieu to you ladies of Spain. You know it. For we received order.
Oh, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
You'd probably have better luck with that. My go-to for a sea shanty used to be Rusty Razor, you know?
I'd shave probably get up there,
with
though.
Rusty Razor, shave his belly with it, right?
I'd probably just get up there and be like, roll out the barrel.
Hey, yeah. There you go.
Oh, man. So that concludes our episode of Follow the Sound this week in music history, April 30th through May 5th. That was a fantastic show, guys. I loved that a lot. That was actually really good. So, yeah, we're cruising along. Of course, tune in next week, and we will have another episode, most likely. If not, we'll have something else to post, because you know what? That's what we do. We kind of bounce around a little bit here, but we try to always produce content every week.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to help out the show, of course, go to our website at followthesoundpodcast.com and click on the Amazon banner, or go to followthesoundpodcast.com/Amazon. If you want to contact us, you can find us on social media, on Twitter at IFollowTheSound, or on Facebook at the Follow the Sound group. Get on there. Communicate with us. But if you want to do the email thing, go ahead and send us an email at info at followthesoundpodcast.com. I was going to give you Lineup Media's info email, but that wouldn't do me any good. So it's info at followthesoundpodcast.com. And once again, thank lineupmedia.fm for allowing us to do the show. Go there, check out all the great programming. And if you're listening on Yo Radio, check out all the other Yo Radio stations that are out there, because it's super cool. I have been your host, Brian Kroc. Along with me has been Greg Harvey.
Bustin' makes me feel good.
And Jacob Crum.
I don't make music for eyes, I make music for ears. Happy birthday, Adele.
Stand by your man and follow the sound.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.